a victory overnight for the privatization of space travel and recycling. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. SpaceX is celebrating today. Last night, the private space company launched a rocket delivering 11 satellites into orbit. But then, perhaps the bigger news, it was able to bring its rocket booster safely back to Earth for reuse. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live now from Washington. Morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So last night, a successful launch.
David, this is about much more than a rocket launch. Although SpaceX is relieved the launch went well last night because the last rocket it tried to launch about 6 months ago blew up just minutes after liftoff, the big deal last night was what happened after the launch. You know how the rocket separates from its booster once it gets high enough?
I mean, you're talking to a former model rocket champion from Maine.
Well, usually when a booster separates from the rocket, it's wasted. It just tumbles back to Earth and burns up in the atmosphere. But last night, SpaceX was able to steer the booster back to Earth safely and landed at a dedicated landing zone at a former launch complex for Atlas intercontinental ballistic missiles, which SpaceX had leased.
And talk about why the return of this booster is such a big deal.
You know, it's all about saving money. These rocket boosters are huge. The booster that launched the rocket last night is 15 stories tall. And they have to be huge to launch a rocket. And they're expensive. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk wants to reuse the booster. He says that would make rocket launches a lot cheaper, maybe 100 times cheaper. And since the rocket booster is the most expensive part of the launch, Musk says it'll take a few more years for SpaceX to be able to routinely reuse its boosters.
Briefly, I'm thinking this has been done before, Nancy?
Yet to some extent, Blue Origin is another space company owned by a billionaire, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. Blue Origin was able to bring a booster back to Earth safely, but it had just been used on a suborbital flight. The SpaceX rocket was more powerful and it flew higher.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you.
You're welcome.
New York City is pioneering new rules to let people decide their own gender identification in the workplace or when doing business. New guidelines from New York's Human Rights Commission orders restaurants to stop requiring ties for men, skirts for women. Gyms can't tell members which locker rooms to use, even if there are complaints. The new guidelines say a worker can put Rachel on the name tag if so desired, even if the legal ID says Richard, for instance. The rules are backed up with stiff fines if discrimination is found. Now let's do some numbers. The 100-share index in London is currently up 0.7%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed here 2.5 hours before the opening bell. Now, they tried to call it muddy boots delivery service, but that was a non-starter. The term white glove delivery is doing better. As more of us go online to buy big-ticket, bulky things like TVs and furniture, a growing number of services stand ready to come in and set up the big new purchase. Marketplace's Adrian Hill looked into how these work.
Perhaps this has happened to you. You scour the web for that perfect dining room table, wait for it to go on sale, and then watch your bargain disappear in a sea of shipping charges and white glove delivery fees.
You may not find them wearing white gloves, but they are handling it with care. They're coming inside your house. They're putting booties on their shoes so they don't mess up your carpet.
Satish Jindal heads SJ Consulting Group. He says the in-home delivery market, not to be confused with the leave-it-on-the-porch market, has grown into a $13 billion a year business. More than half of that goes to third-party contractors. And demand for their services, which can run $100 or more, has grown 8% in the last year alone. Chelsea White is a transportation professor at Georgia Tech. He says these services can be a selling point for customers.
It alleviates the need for getting yet another someone to come into the house to do the setup if you can't do the setup yourself.
But don't count on white glove fees to enter the realm of free shipping. Delivery charges are one area where retailers rarely budge. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. College applications are due around now. Students are on edge. Parents are anxious. And if you have it in your heart to do this, spare a thought for college admissions officers who are under enormous pressure to fill enough spots with the right students. That's especially true at small colleges that depend on each and every tuition dollar. A short visit now with Brigid Lawler, Dean of Admissions at Marlborough, a college in Vermont, where enrollment has been falling.
There's probably not a day that goes by that I don't feel like I'm carrying the survival of the college on my shoulders. Every school is looking for that very limited commodity, which is, you know, that incoming class, albeit freshman or transfer. And it's become a show, sort of, right? Go to a recruitment event. Everybody's like jazz hands and razzle dazzle. And it's challenging because how do you convince somebody when they're 18, that coming to a school that's never going to have more than 300 people, that's on a hill in the middle of Vermont, rural Vermont, is going to be an amazing experience. I know that the majority of schools out there are encouraging people to apply, knowing full well that they're not going to admit them. I would discourage a student who I don't think is a good fit from applying, and have. What has been disturbing for me is this dehumanization of the admissions process. They're young adults. This is one of the biggest decisions they will make in their lives. It will affect where they live, what kind of job they get, who their partners are or not. You can do all sorts of tricks to bring in as many people. But if they don't stay and they don't have a great experience and they're just turning over, I think you're missing the boat. It's troubling to think that there'll be this great shakeout and that there'll be some schools that don't survive. You can't think about that. You have to stay focused on your school, your school's mission. I mean, if you start to think like that, then it's time to go find another job, right? Because if you feel that way, how are you possibly going to convince people that it's worth them coming to your school?
Dean Lawler at Marlborough College. Education correspondent Amy Scott produced that for us. That's only one piece of Amy's reporting on higher ed through the prism of that college there. Marketplace.org has more. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.